Campus FM presents The Probe, produced and presented by Monique Chambers. Welcome to this last edition of The Probe with me, Monique Chambers, and my guest this week is Wilfred Kennelly from the RIDT. He's in fact the CEO there. So, Wilfred, can you tell us actually what does RIDT stand for and who are they?
Okay, so RIDT means Research, Innovation and Development Trust. This is a newly set up unit within the University of Malta. It's a trust. It's a fund, and with the objective to engage with society, with the Maltese community, in order to raise funds for additional research projects within the various departments and faculties of the university. It has been set up in 2011, which is 5 years ago, And up till now, we have been able to engage and also to raise funds that are keeping a number of projects going that vary from PhD scholarships, for example, in cancer research, and to, for example, we have the mobile dental clinic that was inaugurated about 1.5 years ago now, which is an outreach project for the university. And a number of other projects that are going on in as I said, in various areas.
Okay. So you said you fund some scholarships. Mm-hmm. How much do you have to raise to actually be able to fund a scholarship? Or does that change varied depending on the
Definitely,
type of...
Definitely. If for example, in some areas like the health-related areas where you need the labs, you need the consumables, and there's a huge investment there in the infrastructure. A PhD scholarship would cost much more than it would cost, say, in an art-related subject. One of our latest scholarships that was being funded through the RIDT is the Bjorn Formosa Scholarship for studies in ALS, in motor neuron disease. And through that agreement that we managed to reach with the ALS Malta Foundation, there is a sum of around 90,000 euros that will cover a PhD scholarship over 3 years, plus some additional works that can go in parallel with this PhD scholarship. But it will cost around, in the health-related areas, it will cost around in the region of 80,000 euros.
And are these scholarships for students to study at the University of Malta, or do you often send them overseas?
No, they study locally. They study locally. The idea is to build the required capacity in our departments and in our research teams. And so this is one way that the RIDT is managing to increase the research portfolio of the university. There are other ways that we sometimes organize activities ourselves, and we raise funds, although we are a very small unit. When I say a small unit, it means that there's myself and the part-timer.
Oh, wow.
that's as small as it gets, you know. But we managed, I'm very proud to say that over the past 5 years, we managed to raise around 1.6 million euros.
That's quite impressive.
And most of that is in cash. Some of it is in equipment, the value of the equipment, but most of it, about 1.3 million, is in cash, which is something that wasn't available before. So let's say that is that is one achievement that we have managed.
Absolutely. So how do you go about raising that kind of money? I said earlier, I see you often in the media.
Yeah.
And you said, oh, there they are again. So what activities do you and this one part-timer manage to...
Well, I think part of the answer, you have just mentioned it yourself, because we raise a lot of awareness. Being in the media is an important way of how to reach to the community and tell them, listen, this is happening at the university. We need to support it. We need to have more of this happening. And so the exposure that we get through the projects that we finance is part of our work. But parallel to that, we have to go and pitch with corporates, with NGOs, with public entities, with individuals, with associations. And the idea is to include university research as one of the causes, the philanthropic causes, if you want, that require our help, our assistance.
And do you, when you talk to, like you're saying, corporate donors, can it come under the umbrella of their corporate social responsibility?
Exactly. That is exactly what we're trying to do here. We move on two lines. On one line, you have the philanthropy, the traditional philanthropy. And we all know that this country is quite active in philanthropy. We raise a lot of money for many causes, and all these causes are valid causes. So what we're saying is, let's give you another valid cause for which we should be raising money. So that is the philanthropy, the traditional philanthropy. The other thing is the corporate social responsibility. Now, a number of corporates today have their own program of corporate social responsibility, and they're doing fantastic work with a number of causes, from environment to cultural heritage to even to assist people in need, to sports, okay, arts, everything. And what we're saying is that we should, as a country and as a university, we should move a slice of that philanthropy, of that corporate social responsibility, into long-term investment, which is research. Because at the end of the day, what we're doing is we're telling people, listen, it's good that you give money for whoever has a problem today, but think about the idea of putting in some money to provide a solution for tomorrow, rather than keeping throwing money at the problem today, which in many cases is important, because whoever requires something today cannot wait for the results of research. But we're saying, let's move part of that philanthropy into long-term investment, and in that way we can provide not just the help that is required today, but the solutions for tomorrow.
Yes, the future, exactly. And I was thinking, you know, if you're funding a scholarship, that one person actually brings a number of other people along with them,
exactly.
You know, so you're spreading the load. You're not just helping one person, you're probably helping 100.
Exactly, especially in the health-related areas.
Any investigation into the cures of any diseases?
And not necessarily the cures, because this is one question that we face and day by day. People ask us, so when are you going to find a cure? And first of all, obviously I have to tell them, listen, I'm not the scientist, I'm the fundraiser, so the scientists are there doing their job. But finding a cure is a big thing. It's a tall order. But we can always find a way how to improve the quality of life of people. Not necessarily by providing a cure which is an end to all the problems that you have, but technology can help people with, for example, with mobility problems.
That's true.
Rather than providing a cure that will bring the person right back to the original state, but providing technological solutions, aids. That is also part of making one's life better.
So, apart from scholarships, what other projects do you fund? You mentioned something about a dental outreach.
About 2.5 years ago, the Faculty of Dental Surgery of this university approached us with a very ambitious idea.
Okay.
That of having a mobile dental clinic. And this is, as the name implies, it's a dental clinic with all the equipment that we normally find in one of these clinics, but it is based in a truck. The idea is to have this outreach project that goes from village to village, from town to town, and gives, let's say, first-level assistance to the community by providing checkups and advice and all that, but Underlying all that, there is also a very important research project, because this is collecting data.
Ah.
This is collecting data about the oral health of the Maltese community. And so they are doing a fantastic piece of work here. They're going to schools, they're going to old people's homes, they're going to villages, and in collaboration with the local councils. Well, you would know that, for example, next week this dental clinic is going to be in that particular locality, and you can go and have your teeth checked, and you're given advice. But most of all, they are collecting this data that then is showing us the actual situation with regard to oral health of the Maltese community. And I think this is one of the most visible projects that we've been working on, and it's also one of the most, let's say, the kind of project that brings the university close to the community.
Yes. Uh-huh.
And I have to say that we managed to collect about 130,000 euros to have this project on the road, and it came from industry, mainly from suppliers of medical and dental equipment and products, and we're very happy that we have this thing now on the roads, and it's people are relating to the university in a different way now. It's not just the university where our children go to study and where they graduate, but this is the university reaching out to the community and also being part of the community life.
And I'm assuming that the research they're collecting dictates what the students will then study in the dental unit for,
and even more future. because the data that is coming in gives them even additional information about, for example, about the quality of food intake, the amounts of sugars and soft drinks that people are consuming.
Okay.
So that can feed into problems like obesity, diabetes.
Mm-hmm.
So this is something which is not, it cannot be seen just on one level.
Uh-huh.
There are a number of levels there. And I think this is one of the projects that is closer to our heart.
It's very smart, actually, when you point out the nutritional aspects as well. It has quite a lot of levels. What other projects are there? Because and then I'll come on to the how you raise all of this money, because you've raised a really significant amount of money in such a short space of time. So scholarships, your dental truck, and what else are you funding?
Well, there are a number of projects happening, because one way that we collect the funds is by, as I was saying earlier, we engage with corporates.
Mm-hmm.
Now, corporates might have their own, let's say, company philosophy or company objectives, and they would say, listen, we would like to donate this amount of money, but we would like to see it spent on research in this particular area, not necessarily scholarships. So, for example, we have projects in the Faculty of Engineering that are being funded by industry. We have ICT projects, and also last year the RIDT managed to fund about 15 projects through funds that we raised ourselves. So what we did was, we issued a call for applications, for proposals, and we were very encouraged by the number that we received, and there was an evaluation process, and 15 projects, small projects, with a budget of maximum 8,000 euros.
Okay.
But these are projects that can help researchers to prepare themselves for bigger projects, for example. They could be like pilot projects or feasibility studies. And we funded 15 of those across all areas of study. That takes you from art to digital games to environmental studies to health-related research, engineering. So those also are part of what we're doing. At the moment, we are evaluating proposals that came in through another call. We managed to raise some funds last year for brain research projects.
Okay.
So we issued a call earlier at the end of 2016, and we have a number of projects which at the moment are being evaluated. So this is also another way of how we do our business. It's not only going out asking for money, but sometimes you have to create initiatives that will eventually identify valid projects within the various departments of the university, and we will try to find the funding for those as well.
So you're saying the Maltese community is very generous and very philanthropic. Are you finding the same with international organisations? Because there's a lot of financial and gaming companies coming in. Are they helping as well, or is there that a market?
Well, I have to admit that it was the first few years of our existence. We focused mainly on the local companies and NGOs. Mm-hmm. Now we're moving into the foreign companies as well, the bigger companies. But I expect that these companies that have based themselves here and are doing well as part of their corporate social responsibility, I'm expecting that this will always follow now, and they will also be supporting university research. One thing that in 2015 we managed to achieve, and I think it is something which deserves mentioning, is that we all know about the Malta Community Chest Fund.
Yes.
And they're doing a fantastic job. They've been doing a fantastic job, and they're raising significant amounts of money. We had discussions with the Community Chest Fund, with Her Excellency the President, and we are very proud to say that today the Community Chest Fund is also funding research projects within the university.
That's exceptional.
And I think this is the way that we should be moving on, because this is the Community Chest Fund, even the name.
Yes.
That is exactly what we're doing here. This is what the community feels that it should be supporting. And as I was saying earlier, while it remains of crucial importance to support those cases that require financial support today, and they cannot wait for any developments, the Community Chest Fund has understood this as well, and they are saying, yes, part of it, even if it starts small and will grow along the way, part of it will go and will support research, because we believe that this is investment in the future. And I think this is one of the beautiful things that we have managed to achieve over these past years, because we are seeing a shift in the way that the people think, and there's a new mentality coming in that we should be supporting not just what is required today, but also how we can make tomorrow's life better.
I'm hoping as well this is the 17th in our series of programs for the Probe, where we've spoken to researchers covering everything from breast cancer to microsatellites.
Yeah.
So understanding actually some of the projects that happen here at the University of Malta, hopefully that will give more people the impetus to contact yourselves and or maybe follow in some of the initiatives that you have to support
exactly
those researchers further.
You mentioned breast cancer. Only last November, we had our first PhD graduate, and that was supported by this NGO called the Life Charity Foundation.
Okay.
Together with Action for Breast Cancer Foundation, they came to our IDT, they gave us the money, we chose the right candidate, and today Dr. Sean Baldacchino is has finished his PhD scholarship in breast cancer thanks to the community that has supported his studies. There is another person who is studying, she's doing her PhD again in breast cancer, and in January we'll have the third PhD scholarship student starting her studies, thanks to the support that we're receiving from this organization called the Life Charity Foundation. So, yes, these are all examples that give us the encouragement to move on, because something is happening, and something beautiful is happening. I say that, the Maltese community is understanding, the Maltese community is realizing that this is the way forward. I think it is also due to a number of things that are happening at the same time. We are raising the awareness of what's happening within the university thanks to these programs, thanks to magazines like Think, for example. And so people are now understanding that the university is not just a place where you go to learn, but it is also an important player in the socio-economic development of the country, because at the end of the day, what we're doing here is also can also be seen through the economic argument. Research provides better jobs, for example. We can even aim at attracting companies and having our own homegrown companies.
Yes.
Because there are the right kind of people, the right kind of qualified and trained people. So this is not just an argument about social impact, it's also an economic argument. And I think what we're seeing is that the community is reacting and it is giving us the support that we are requiring.
Excellent. If you've just joined us, this is Monique Chambers on The Probe with Wilfred Kennelly from the RIDT. So you were telling us earlier that in the 5 years that you've been operating, you've raised over 1.6 million euros. That's quite a lot of money. There are some activities that you do. I mean, my association is there's a cycle ride that's happened before. Is that the Alive?
That is the Alive challenge. And the Alive are very much associated with RIDT. Because I think this is the fourth year that they're doing their cycling challenge. Alive is by far the biggest supporter of RIDT. I think so far they have given us more than €250,000.
Wow.
They have supported 3 PhD scholarships already, and there's more to come. So yes, that is one thing that is happening. But on the other hand, we as RIDT, we organize events that have a dual role, if you want. On one hand, we are raising the awareness.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, we are raising the funds. For example, we have concerts, we have art exhibitions, things that help us reach the community in a different way and reach different audiences, different parts of the community through these activities that we create. Obviously, then there are the others, the other NGOs and the other corporates that from time to time we receive donations from them, either because we would have been working with them, presenting them a number of proposals that might be of interest to them, or else. And this is something that is happening now because the awareness is growing. We are also now experiencing companies and individuals and associations that on their own steam, they just come and say, this is the donation, this is what we managed to collect, this is going for research. And we are very grateful because this is something that we have been working at. And I think when you realize that people are now understanding even more that let's say you have a Christmas party, and rather than raising funds and giving them to the traditional charities,
yes,
if you want, which is fine. I mean, I'm not saying that they shouldn't, but it's also so important that some of these collected monies go towards research.
And it could be that, you know, you have those Secret Santa where you have to buy something for €5.
Yes.
Your company of 50 people spending €5, that small donation, but actually still adds up.
And I'm happy to say that over the last Christmas we saw a number of these things, a number of people coming over and saying, listen, this year we collected, I mean, even if it's €100 or €50, it doesn't matter. It's not about the amount. Of course, we're always happy when we receive a 100,000 euro check, but you can't expect one of them every week. Hopefully one day, yes. But when we receive these 100, 200 euros, 150 euros checks coming from individuals who just decided that, listen, on the spur of the moment, just let's make a little donation. Mm-hmm. And this time we'll choose research at the university. And I think that is exactly what we are looking at. Right. We're looking at a community that is appreciating enough, and it is sensitive to what's happening around it, and supporting this kind of studies.
I have a friend in London actually who runs a charity, and they do this amazing event which you might want to copy, where you pay £100 to go for dinner, but you pay £200 not to go to the dinner, because there are so many dinners that you have to go, or I think it might be the other way around, you pay 200 to go and 100 not to go, or something. So, and people just pay not to have to go to another dinner, and they
pushing the definition of creativity.
Well, you know, but you know, it's quite a lot of fun. It's, I think they call it a ghost dinner, and nobody actually goes to this dinner, but they end up with this donation for not going to dinner.
And there are no expenses.
Yes. it's
all bottom line.
No stress, no
all bottom line.
Well, there could be something here, especially in a January, after you've had that many parties.
We'll think about it, yes.
Might be something to go with. What other ways can we help in general? Just sort of paying more attention to these articles in the press, and understanding more and spreading the word with our companies, telling our boss, actually, this year I'd quite like you to donate to the RIDT, for example.
Yes, there are many ways that one can make a donation. I have been approached, for example, by couples getting married this year, and that instead of souvenirs, we're going to give a donation.
That's
to our
IDT.
That's
a really lovely idea.
This, these kind of little things that will have a multiplier effect, because then you have the wedding and there are, I don't know, 400 people there, and they realize. And then four of them or 10 of them would say, my wedding is coming up. I'll do it again.
Excellent. So you've been listening to the last edition of The Probe with myself, Monique Chambers, and Wilfred Kennelly, who's the CEO of the RIDT. Please give generously. Thank you very much.
You have just listened to The Probe, produced and presented by Monique Chambers.